Hello and welcome to the Van Ryan Compliance Podcast, the podcast that dives into the latest and greatest in data compliance for family-owned businesses. I'm your host, Rob.
And I'm Dawn, and today we're talking about ChatGPT, the pre-trained language module developed by OpenAI.
Which you have liked to call what?
Chatty.
Come on, Dawn. You gotta
how about Charlie?
Chatty. Charlie the chatty chatbot?
Ooh.
How about Charlie the chatty chatbot?
How about Chatty Charlie?
Charlie of the chatty. Of the chatty Charlie. Right, anyway, there's been a lot of conversation about chatty. And for some reason, I think you, Dawn, like to talk to chatty more than me.
And my dogs.
And the dogs. Because, you know, boys and girls, it doesn't really matter me. It's just really about the dogs. But what we wanted to dive into is really, what is ChatGPT and how does it tie into data compliance, right? Those are the big things. So, you know, Dawn, since you're more of the educator in the family, why don't you go ahead and talk to us about ChatGPT and what it is?
Well, simply, ChatGPT, not GBT, GPT, is an AI model that's been trained on a massive amount of text data to generate human-like responses to text inputs. It's a type of AI called a generative pre-trained transformer, or GPT for short. So generated pre-trained transformer is where that GPT comes from. So it's really cool. I'm sure y'all have tried it. And the fun part about it is it's been so busy lately that it'll actually tell you that it's busy and to come back, and it'll have little fun little text that it writes on the screen when it's busy because so many people are using it. It's really fun asking it just basic questions to start and then really diving into, you know, tell me this, write this for me, or, you know, tell me what this is. It's amazing.
Yeah. And we've been playing with it on about with basically what types of policies it can write, right? I've asked it create a privacy policy. Then I'll say, hey, create a privacy policy for a medical practice. Create a privacy policy for an IT company. And say, hey, make it more serious. Hey, make it more funny, right? And it already has all of those natural languages built in and changes that. That's kind of the fun part of it.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people, Dawn, are saying, oh God, what do I do? Another AI, right?
Right.
Well, you know, we already have, there's Alexa and Siri, but they're not really this. They just kind of barely work, turn the lights off and on. And then, well, Alexa likes to order dog food.
Well, Alexa,
that's kind of the new
personally, part. This is what I think. This is my opinion only, but personally, I think Alexa is a bit smarter than Siri. Siri's about turn on my lights. Siri's about turn
on
the music.
House. Yeah.
But Alexa actually has a little more depth to her. And I really think that her and ChatGPT are probably
Charles.
Similar AIs, if you will.
Yeah.
So yeah, it could be, you know. She's got some smarts to her. So I think that Amazon spent some time in programming her versus just turn on my music and that type of thing. So
true. And the key too with this technology is that it's how it generates human-like responses.
Yeah.
It is very conversational, and it is something that Dawn and I have talked about is how do you embrace it, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to get bigger. I mean, I think 2023 is the year of AI.
Yeah.
It has just started. I mean, there's already cars that can do semi-autonomous driving or sometimes full autonomous driving. And then you tie the machine world into the language world. Then you're going to see additional options and uses of AI.
Yeah.
I already know that the folks at Google are already trying to catch up to OpenAI. Mm-hmm. There's already been those conversations in the channels that I watch to see, because they have all a bunch of data. So how do we turn that data into language, right?
Yeah.
You know, the remarkable thing about it is that it doesn't require any additional training to perform these tasks. So even our child, he's 14, he knows what to do. Even me, I'm not 14. I'm mentally 14. what are you laughing at?
Yeah, you're right.
Who's more immature, me or Ethan, our son?
You both are about the same age.
Okay, so this is part of the family business section of the podcast. So what you're saying is me at, what am I, 47? I have the mental maturity I'm not. 47, 48, somewhere in there. I have the mental maturity of a 14-year-old high school freshman.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
Oh.
But.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the ChatGPT, it really has all levels. So just simply, I asked it simply what a certain mushroom was. A certain type of mushroom.
Shiitake, I think.
Or, you know, well, actually it was lion's mane.
Oh, yeah. Because
we watched this great Netflix, if you haven't watched it yet, documentary on mushrooms and all the different mushrooms. It's fascinating, actually. And lion's mane is one of the types of mushrooms that helps with your mental cognitive
brain. Yep.
And it can actually help if folks have Alzheimer's and things like that. Anyway, so I wanted to ask what it was. And it gave me its simple definition, kind of like how we used to open up a dictionary or open up Encyclopedia Britannica.
Whoa.
Remember those?
What?
And so what they've done is they've fed this chat with this AI chat with so much information. I'm sure there's some guy on the other side, some guy, gal, people on the other side that are feeding this thing. But you can ask it simple questions like that. I asked it simply how to also, the inside of my oven, the glass, how to clean the glass on the inside of my oven. And it's like, oh, warm water and vinegar. And that will take that away. And I'm like, wow, that's super helpful. So I really think that Google should be scared because the amount of information that I can get by just typing in one thing, one question and getting the answer versus Google having to go through 20 answers, 20 different links. This is big.
Yeah.
This is big. So, yep. We have to be careful though, because you also have to, another part is you get an answer, but you also need to kind of check it too. I think there's still a part of,
there's still a human aspect to it. Yes.
Yes.
There still will be until it learns more. And I embrace it. I think, you know, one thing we've talked about is what do you do with this new technology? Well, you can't run away from it, right? You have to embrace it. You have to understand it. You have to be fully aware of it. How does it plug into your business? Mm-hmm. The thing that's really interesting about it is it uses a transformer network. So if you go look at Tesla and what Tesla has done with FSD, the full self-driving and the autonomous driving, it uses a neural net. Mm-hmm. Their Tesla bot uses a neural net. Neuralink uses a neural net. So they're neural networks. So the scary thing is, if we all remember our Terminator movies, see, I'm dating myself, with Skynet and how this all ties together, it's becoming reality now. Mm. That's kind of the fun thing. But these transformer networks are a type of neural networks that have revolutionized the field of natural language processing. Mm-hmm. So we type things in, and it goes ahead and it processes the information that we asked it to just, you know, talk about data compliance laws in Kansas, you know, throw mm-hmm. something at it, and then it'll continually change that. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're seeing it, how we could use mm-hmm. it in business. Now, ChatGPT doesn't run everything here at Van Ryan. You know, we have eyes on the paper, right, Don?
Yes, we do. Yep. You know, and you have to be, and it is very real because they're human-like responses. So actually as it's typing, it's really like, well, there are many ways to do this. However, this is the best way to do it. Like I asked it the other day, what's the best electric car? And it went
listed a bunch.
It went in to say, it depends on, what you're looking for. If you're looking for range, if you're looking for price, and it named, you know, Tesla, it named all the different electric cars that are out there. And it gives you, so there's still choice is basically, it's a human-like response. Well, you could do this or you could do this. Here's the information. Basically, you need to go out and make the best decision for yourself. So,
mm-hmm. yep.
So let's not be freaked out that it, you know, is telling you what to do and that type of thing. We are using it. We are looking at it from our standpoint of not only just our personal life, but our business life is using it as a tool, as a resource.
Yep.
And I think it's a great resource. And we just need to embrace it and we need to use it, but not solely rely on it. No, but we need to use it because it is amazing.
Yeah,
it really is.
And what it's done different than just Googling it. Mm-hmm. If you chatting McChattins it, It's using a process called fine-tuning to adapt to the new text and specific domains. So it's fine-tuning the actual question that you throw at it from pre-trained models in a smaller data sets. So it's all about data. I mean, life comes down to data. That's why we have a data compliance company.
Yes.
Right? Because how do we secure all this, right? So yes, there is the policies, the procedures, the security of that. We've been asked about if ChatGPT is HIPAA compliant. Well, HIPAA is a unique beast where it requires a business associate agreement with any entity or business associate that processes or supports your business in data. At this point, I would say it's not there, but it's not designed to be there. You got to remember this. You could probably say, give me a diagnosis for some type of an illness or maybe an appendicitis, right? Or I stubbed my toe the other day and it hurts. So I Googled it and ChatGPT is like, hey, what do I do? With, you know, and it gives you a list of information. You can't just say, here's Rob, here's my medical information, all this. It's going to start putting up roadblocks. So you cannot process that information because that's a whole different world you want to get into.
And speaking of my dogs, because they are really my dogs.
See, this is the family part.
My two big labs, my 200 pound labs, we have a white and a chocolate, which if most of you've been on a Zoom call, you see them, walking behind me quite often. I asked them, labs have ear things. They get ear infections. They get the gunk in the ears. That's, quite frankly, stinky and gross. And I've used a number of different cleaners and they haven't been successful at taking the odor away. They may take the gunk away. And so I basically asked what causes that? And it kind of went through stuff that I'd known from the veterinarian had told me, but it gave me some ideas to use some organic type of liquids,
cleansers
that would take the odor away. And that's one thing I had never searched for is there are different ones, but they're only specific ones that actually take the odor away. So that was super helpful. Again, it just, you can ask it whatever. You can ask it about food. You can ask, that's what makes it really cool. It's another resource for all of us to use.
Yep. Now, speaking of your dogs.
Yes.
Your dogs.
My dogs, yeah.
They have become more of a chore than your son.
They have.
Or our son, because it takes two to tango.
Yes.
It's funny that the man always gets left out of the conversation. Your child, right? Yes, I know. But why is that, Dawn? Why have the dogs become such a... pain?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Cleaning them, then it's been muddy, and we had the ice storm in Texas because we have the greatest grid. We were actually out without power for 12
hours.
About 12 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luckily, it wasn't that cold. So, you just go to bed, throw a bunch of blankets on the bed, and the dogs are useful with that.
The dogs kept us warm.
They're good heaters.
Any other time than that, the dogs they make you hot. So you definitely don't want them with you. But that was nice that one night. But yes, they do get dirty. They bring in all of this, the mud from, the back of the, behind the trees, back by the fence, the corner of the property. There is it's natural. So whatever they get, it gets in their toes and then they bring it in the house.
Yep.
And it's always annoying when you walk around your house and we have concrete floors inside our house that you walk on mud pieces and rocks. So yeah, that's where it becomes a little high maintenance when stuff like that happens. But it is what it is.
It is
what
it is.
We love our dogs. Anyway, we're moving on. What else?
You want to talk about chickens and eggs? We should get chickens.
Oh, don't talk about eggs because here in Texas, our eggs are actually still pretty good price.
Still like
and there's
bucks.
Still as eggs available. So don't get mad at us for that.
So let's we've been asked, we thought about this. What are some potential applications for ChatGPT? Yeah. One of the most obvious is customer service. It is really, think about the bot on the website. Mm-hmm. Think about the auto attendant on phone lines. Think about that first level of customer support. I saw Google Voice do this at a conference about 4 years ago, where it actually called into it was a provider's office or it called into, it was some call center, you could tell. Mm-hmm. And it had a conversation with the agent. And during the conversation, they actually rebooked and rescheduled the appointment, all from AI because it knows the languages. It knows what you're talking about. So I think customer service is big. Also, accurate answers to customer inquiries. So like, for example, with our business, with data compliance, we could say, hey, how do I get my SOC 2 certificate? And then they could have a conversation online, kind of that top of funnel thing, right? And they're getting the information. And then here's a download. Here's a PDF. Here's a sample policy. Let AI create all those and craft those. Take that burden off the teams. It can also be used to generate articles, stories, and poetry. I've been trying poetry. It's Valentine's Day is coming up, Dawn.
Oh, boy.
So here I'm trying things. Hey, we're coming on 23 years. It's got to be spicy, right? That's it. That's something spicy is the Tabasco.
Now,
right?
The one thing about this is do not allow your high schoolers to use it to write their papers or do their homework. So that is a danger of this is that it could be used in the wrong context. It should be used as a resource.
Use it as a resource.
Our kids don't go to the library anymore and go look at the microfiche. Remember those? And the
microfiche.
The encyclopedias and all that. That is just not a thing anymore. I didn't even know if there's a lot of libraries around. I don't even know.
There are libraries.
But I don't know if
that's where you have to go vote.
Oh, that's true. We do. Well,
because they don't have mail.
But that's the only time we go there.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is definitely a different level. Our kids, next generations are growing up with a whole other level of resource. So it is pretty exciting. It is free right now. I have a feeling they're probably going to charge a subscription or something for it. Because when you think about the amount of work that goes in.
That's a lot. You got to train it.
But it's really cool. You should try it. You should just see what it's about.
I think the one thing that I noticed is, so we run Google Workplace at Van Ryn, and it has a wonderful plugin to Google. So it will actually respond to emails. But what I noticed with it is it's very formal. So it doesn't write how you would write. I tend to write more conversationally. I am a little more casual. I think, Dawn, you're more pointed. I think you're more to the points. And it kind of blends the both. So then what I've noticed is you can say, hey, respond to this email about a proposal or a compliance question, it'll write it, but it's too formal. So then I have to Robaize it, right? I have to make it more fun. Mm-hmm. And I will say teachers, educators, professors are going to see that if you're using it for education. Yeah. But also if I responded to all our clients that way, you're like, wow, your conversation changed dramatically.
Yeah.
So you have to
robot-like.
How about robotic?
Robotic.
Exactly. Or is that like Mr. Roboto?
Oh, yeah.
Is that different?
Sticks, yeah.
But you have to go ahead and change that up and customize it for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the big question, you know, the big thing we get is how does it change data compliance? So now that we have Chatty McChattins have it out there doing what it does, how is it really going to change? What do you think about that?
It's definitely going to change things. Again, it's not going to do your job for you. And let's remember this, that it's a resource.
They're going to take my job.
Yeah. So you may be able to write a basic agreement, basic policy, but you will notice the disclaimer at the end of ChatGPT.
There's always a disclaimer.
You need to consult your legal counsel.
Yeah.
And so nothing is 100%. But it will give you pieces if you are writing an agreement of some sort, a proposal, a contract. It will give you pieces. Instead of searching 20 billion Google links, it will give you pieces to it. Mm-hmm. And it sort of helps, shrink the time of research. So I think that is key, it's giving you back some time. You all have probably spent a ton of time Googling stuff. Yep. I know sometimes I've spent hours Googling something that I just haven't gotten quite the right answer to and enough information. This is really going to speed that up. So I think really how it's going to affect us, it's going to help us to get some resources quicker, but it's also going to help us kind of create a framework for some things we're working on. But it's not a 100% go-to, you should go to it all the time and listen to it, and that's all you should listen to. No, that it is just a resource.
Should I have it write my Valentine's to you this year? I will.
Oh, let's try it.
And we'll print them out. Okay.
And, that,
That's okay. I got to derail the conversation for a second. That's what I want the listeners to do. Go to ChatGPT, put in your Valentine's to your partner, husband, spouse, wife, all that good stuff, boyfriend, girlfriend, throw it all in there. See what you get. And if it's fun, throw it in the chats. Ooh, throw it in the comments.
I would like to see everyone's. Oh, that'd be fun. That's like a kind of a survey.
It's a survey. Yeah. Yes.
Of how you get your Valentine's out of ChatGPT. And the other thing too is at the bottom, you notice on, you know, when you log in, it'll tell you that it only has data like through 2021.
Yeah.
It because there's so much data out there, you got to know it's taking time. So it's not 100% up to date. That being said, I did go and test it the other day,
you did.
If you will,
yeah.
On the new California privacy law, which is, it used to be CCPA, now it's CPRA, which is the addendum to CCPA. Actually, it had information on it, very brief.
It's brief,
it didn't
though.
Go into a lot of the changes and differences, but it did have a little bit. So again, that is a perfect example of using it as a resource, but not using it as like, this is like, you know, 100%. So, so be aware of that it still is learning.
I think you have to make sure you have proper, you know, proper processes in place to comply with GDPR, HIPAA, you know, maintain your SOC 2, your ISO 27001 or higher certifications. That's the key. You still need a team to watch it. It can do a lot of the heavy lifting, which is, I think that's where AI is going to go. I think it's definitely the direction this year and beyond. I mean, this just really started, if you think about it. I think we're going to be next year, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years from now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where it's going to continue to grow. But I think for data compliance for your business, I think you have to embrace it, see how it plugs in, see how it can resolve some of those mundane tasks. I think the best way I've thought about it is think about kind of the Industrial Revolution, right? Think about putting all the men and women on the, automotive is probably the easiest way to think about it. Think about it at Ford, right? On the lines, bolting the tires, doing the welding and everything. And now we've transitioned from people putting on the wheels and tires to robotics, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now this is the transition from people doing a lot of those mundane tasks to AI doing it. Mm-hmm. You're still going to need core people to take care of those, but you have to embrace this because it's going to continue to go.
Yeah.
It's also, labor, let's think about this. You know, we are paying more for labor, as we should. We're fine with that. But it also is going to increase prices for consumers. Mm-hmm. So you got to think about how can we be competitive in the marketplace, use AI, but also know when to use people. You know, that's the family business side of all of this. So.
Yeah. How do you keep the people? How can you automate? Yeah. And this is really an automation.
Automate, eliminate, or delegate.
Yeah. But there's still a human aspect to everything we do. I mean, even cars on assembly lines, there's a lot of robots, but there is people that are doing the double check at the end.
There's still the final check.
There is people.
QA.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right.
So, you shouldn't be as scared of this. It's actually very exciting that we have this resource now.
Yeah.
It's a very exciting time to learn from this. Yep.
Yeah. And we have to make sure that we're transparent about the data we're using and how we get it. So we're already thinking about how do we put in AI and ethics principles and policies into our own privacy policies.
Yeah.
So thinking about that. So you need to tell customers we have AI-driven data that goes and grabs information, and this is how we support you and we'll take care of you as our clients.
Yeah, it's probably going to be similar to cookies. Your cookies banner.
Oh, the cookies.
These are how we use the cookies. And this is how we do it. So it's one of those things. It's like, and what are in the cookies? What is the main platform in cookies that is talked about?
Well,
Google. Yeah, Google.
Well, Google's a data mining
machine. Exactly. So
Google's an advertising.
So you'll
company.
Probably see some of this come forward into cookies, into privacy policies, things like that. Yeah. You know, we may use the, your information, in ChatGPT, blah, blah, blah. You know, I can see that kind of evolving at some point, adding that verbiage. But,
yep, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I think, at the end, as we kind of wrap up this year, wow, is it already over?
No, it's not.
No, as we wrap up this week's podcast, we always kind of want to give you some nuggets of things you can do, right? Yep. Well, first up, don't be scared of it. Mm-hmm. Go out there, go out to OpenAI's website, sign up for a free account and play with it and understand it, right? You're going to see it woven into everything in the coming years. This is the start. So embrace it, look at it, understand it, but be mindful of what it's doing.
And have fun with it too. It's fun.
Oh, it is fun.
Make it your fun assistant.
Dawn talks more to Chatty than she talks to me, but.
Well, the dogs.
Yeah. So be mindful of that and be ready for that. Educate yourself on that. And we've got some links in the show notes down below you can dive into a little bit more. And be open-minded about how it can help your business. You know, how can it help either do processes or procedures better? How can it help do some revenue? You know, already thinking like on our site, Dawn, is how can it be like a little chatbot that walks people through audits real quick and creates policies as it goes? And there's a flat fee and boom, you're done.
Yeah.
Look at that. And it moves on and it moves on has that better process. Think about how it can automate from phone calls. See how it can automate technology. Healthcare is going to be big. How can it actually provide the right dosages of information?
AI has been in healthcare the last 5+ years.
Started with Watson.
We have customers that that's what they do. They have software driven, it's AI driven software in the healthcare space. Yeah. We have a handful of customers that's what they do. So AI has been here for some time. This isn't a new thing.
Yeah.
It's just evolving.
Yeah. It's just evolving. Yeah. It was with, I had worked at Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield and we stood up IBM Watson back in, when was that? 07. It was digesting data.
Oh yeah.
You know, nothing like this, but it's where it kind of started.
Yep.
And it would require, and I think we'll still have providers will be required to sign off or approve, right? Or compliance officers will be required to sign off and approve.
Yeah.
So I think definitely a takeaway is embrace it, understand it, look at it. You know, stay tuned here at the Van Ryan Compliance Podcast because we're going to dive into it more and keep things going.
Definitely.
Yes.
Play with it. Have fun with it. And tell us if you get some fun things. We'd like to see what you're asking. ChatGPT and see what fun things you're getting out of it. So
we'll talk more next week.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for joining on this week's episode of Van Ryan Compliance Podcast, where we dive deep into the latest and greatest in data compliance and how do we do it, family-owned business. That's what we like to talk about.
Yes, we do.
All right. Until next week, I'm Rob.
And I'm Dawn.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.